Please read with me Romans 1, verses 8 through 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far has been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We know it is living and active, and we ask that you would use it today in our hearts. Oh God, we ask that you'd work by your Spirit to give us ears to hear what we need to hear today. Shed light into our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask, shed light on this word and help us, we pray, to listen. And we ask that you would be glorified in it as you sink these words deep into our hearts and transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus. Please do that work today, we ask, oh God, humbly by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our mission here at Town North is to make disciples, and as you've probably heard, hopefully you've heard before, that means helping people follow Jesus. That's our mission, it's our purpose, and some of you may hear that and think it sounds nice, that's great, but you don't really put much thought or effort into it beyond that. Deep down, you probably think, well, that's the job that pastors and church leaders and professionals have. People who are trained in this kind of thing. And we live in a culture that looks for the professional, doesn't it? I mean, if you want your car fixed, you go find a professional who can fix it, most of us. Or if you want your plumbing fixed, you go find a professional who can fix the plumbing. And there's surely a place for that, obviously, when it comes to many things that we can't do ourselves, plumbing, fixing cars. But when it comes to helping people follow Jesus, that's not the case. To look for a professional. And we see that in our text today from Paul the Apostle. Today we see that God can use anyone to help others follow Jesus and be encouraged and strengthened in trusting Christ and following him. You don't have to be a professional. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can surely genuinely help others as believers. And where do we see that in our text? Well, it comes pretty clearly in what Paul says to these believers. And notice this is the first word after his introduction. He's just said hello, basically, in the first seven verses of this letter. He's telling them who he is and who he's writing to. And then he tells them here in verses 9 and 10 and in verse 13 that he desperately wants to come and see them. He's wanted to see them for quite some time now. In verses 9 and 10, notice he says, God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I've wanted to come to visit you for so long. And he reemphasizes that in verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. I want to come to be with you. I want to visit you. But the more important thing to notice is the reason why Paul wanted to go visit them that we see in verses 11 and 12 especially. Notice first what he says in verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, Paul's speaking here as a professional. He's an apostle. He just said that in the previous verses. He's an official messenger of Jesus Christ sent to them to tell them the gospel. And he, as a professional, wants to go to them, to tell them of Christ and give them this message so that they would be strengthened by it. And when Paul says he wants to strengthen them, that he would give them some spiritual gift, he's most likely not talking about the spiritual gifts as far as miraculous gifts or that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament, talking about these miraculous spiritual gifts that are given to each part of the body to serve the body. Now, generally here, it's agreed that Paul's talking about more generally the blessing and benefit of God the Holy Spirit's work through his ministry to them when he comes to visit them. The word spiritual in the Bible as an adjective most often is used to describe something that the Holy Spirit does or a work of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit's involvement in the thing. You know, the letter of the Ephesians, Paul says that these Ephesians were blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. What's a spiritual blessing? A blessing given by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual truths are talked about in the Word. Spiritual truths are what? Those truths revealed by the Holy Spirit. And what's a spiritual person in the Bible's way of talking about? It's a person filled with the Spirit of God. So spiritual gifts that Paul's talking about are probably broadly of this gift, this blessing, this encouragement and strengthening that the Spirit of God would give to them through Paul's visit and his ministry and preaching the gospel. But then notice, after saying that in verse 11, I want to come to you as a professional to impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And if you have an ESV Bible, you see there's a dash there. Verse 12, he then amends that statement. Look what he says in verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So notice Paul says, I'm coming to you because I want to impart to you a spiritual gift to strengthen you. And then he makes an adjustment on that statement and adds to that statement saying, actually, that we may be mutually encouraged, that your faith would be strengthened by mine and my faith would be strengthened by yours. There would be a mutual encouragement is what's really going to happen when I come to you. Me, the professional, I'm going to impart to you this blessing, but you're also going to bring a blessing to me. What this is telling us is that God, in Paul's words, can use these believers to strengthen and encourage him just as much as he can strengthen and encourage them. The professional, Paul the apostle, can be strengthened and encouraged by them just as he strengthens and encourages them. In other words, God can use anyone as a believer to strengthen and encourage and help other believers to follow Jesus. That's an important main thesis here. God can use any believer to strengthen another. God truly shows us that through Paul's words here, that they can strengthen him just as he can strengthen them. It's not like as a professional they can't. And there are three important things for us to learn from that and consider that I want you to think about in the next few minutes. First, God uses believers to help each other follow Jesus. Secondly, God obligates believers to help each other follow Jesus. And thirdly, God gives believers strength to help each other follow Jesus. So God uses believers to help others follow Jesus. He obligates believers to help others follow Jesus. And he gives strength to you and me to help others follow Jesus. First, notice again, I'm just going to repeat here in verses 11 and 12. God uses believers to strengthen others. That's what Paul meant when he said that we will be mutually encouraged. I'll be encouraged by you, and you'll be encouraged by me. This was a humble statement by Paul. Think about it. As I mentioned, this meant that he didn't simply believe he was going to impart something to them, but he was going to receive something from them. He, the Apostle Paul, the one designated by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus to be the messenger, his very special, unique messenger, Paul, the very educated Jewish theologian, you could say. He knew Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant. He knew all of Judaism. He knew the work that God had done in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he knew how Christ was the fulfillment of all these things. All these things were given to him and pressed into his soul by God the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. He had all these things, and he was the one that was going to encourage their faith. But Paul was essentially saying here that there's no person in those small churches who couldn't also encourage him in his faith. But there are many times that we're hindered from that great benefit, often because of arrogance, think of it, that we don't see here in Paul. He knew that even though he had all these things, he was a professional, he knew that he himself could be blessed by them. And you know, that's something for us to consider, because there are many times that we're hindered from getting a benefit from God's word or from other people in a Bible study or many places because really of arrogance. Someone may say, I won't go to that Bible study because I know I won't get anything out of it because he's leading it. It's true. There are some people that it's more difficult to find strength and encouragement. And encouragement from the word, depending on who that person is. I know I'm that way. There are certain preachers that seem to feed my soul more than others. There are certain teachers that do that. There are certain people that you run into in the word and in the body that encourage you and strengthen you more than others. But there are times that it may also be arrogant to cause you to think, I won't get anything out of it because he's leading it. Do you really think that God cannot give you anything through that person? A few months ago, I was talking to another pastor, a friend of mine, and we were talking about preaching. What else do pastors talk about? And he was telling me how he, when he first was in the ministry, he came from the Anglican Church into the PCA, our denomination. And when he came out of seminary, he was actually working in a church in Canada with G.I. Packer. And he was just out of seminary. He was with Dr. Packer on staff, and once in a while he did preach. And he said, you know, as a young man, a seminary, my preaching was terrible. It's not that great now, but it was even worse then. And he said, it was amazing, though. There were some people in the congregation who were critical of that. I was a young man, I preached, and they walked away. Some were very quick to say what I did wrong. But you know what amazed me? He said this. He said, but you know what? Dr. Packer, he would always sit right up front, the same spot in a row, and he would have his notebook out, and he would listen, and he would write notes, and learn and grow, and encourage me afterwards, every time, more than anyone. I was saying, isn't that interesting? Here, he's J.I. Packer, many of you may know the name here. He's dead now, but he's written many books. He's a very well-known theologian throughout the world, evangelical theologian. But he sat under this young man's preaching and could be fed by it. That's a man who probably digested what Paul said here and said, I can receive from God anything from anyone. Doesn't have to be a theologian, doesn't have to be any significant, important person. I can learn and grow in God, and God can give me a blessing through this person, whoever it is. I think J.I. Packer probably digested this text from Paul the Apostle, taking the same tone that Paul had here to say, you know what, I can be blessed by you. I don't care who you are. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you, God can feed my soul through you and bless and strengthen and encourage me. I remember hearing a similar story about John Owen, who was a Puritan pastor in the 1600s. And he was an extremely well-educated man. Went to Oxford, later became vice chancellor at Oxford, was a doctor of divinity, very well-educated. Yet one man that John Owen loved to hear preach was a pastor out in the country in a small little town called Bedford named John Bunyan. Some of you have heard of John Bunyan. John Bunyan was not well-educated and did not have the credentials of John Owen. Matter of fact, John Bunyan was probably a tinker, which meant he mended metals and worked with his dad in a shop. He probably was educated to a grade school level at the local school and then left at a very early age to help his father as a tinker. And at one point, John Owen he went to go and hear him often, but at one point, King Charles said to John Owen, because John Owen was that educated and that high up that he was in the government realms of people that knew him. He was very well known. And King Charles heard that John Owen liked to hear this country preacher, John Bunyan, preach. And so one time King Charles said to John Owen, "How can you, who are so learned, hear a tinker preach?" And it's recorded that John Owen responded in this. He said, "May it please your majesty, had I the tinker's ability in preaching, I would most gladly relinquish all my learning." John Owen could hear God's word and be fed and recognized, I can benefit from this believer, this man who's a country preacher. I don't care who he is. God can encourage and strengthen me and strengthen my soul, and John Owen could gain by it, and he knew he could gain by it. That's the same sentiment Paul has here with these believers in Rome, that they can mutually encourage. Think about it. These were not probably seasoned converts. They were probably new converts. Many of them were Gentiles. They didn't know near the things that Paul did, and yet he knew he could be encouraged by them in their faith. And then also notice along that line, how God uses believers to help one another and strengthen and encourage them in Jesus. Notice what God uses to help encourage and strengthen. Look at what Paul says in verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by what? Each other's faith. Paul says he can be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. It's, yes, preaching, teaching, those things also, but it's being in contact with another person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and has his whole life and priorities shaped by Jesus the King. And me being in contact with that person that feeds my soul and encourages me to do the same. After all, that's what faith does, right? What is faith? The biblical term faith means believing God and his promises. Means I believe God's promise when God tells me the good news that Jesus Christ is his son who came into the world as the bread of life to feed the soul of dead human beings, give life to the soul, go to the cross to bear their sins in his body on the tree and rise again, and he's coming to make all things new. It's believing that. That's what these believers in Rome believed. And that was so strange. That's probably why their faith was talked about by so many people. Because these people were in Rome, this metropolitan city, this huge place with all the educated professional types, and they were there saying, you know, there's a king of the world, and he's that one who was crucified down in Judea, Jesus of Nazareth. There are people saying, what? You're going to believe that? These people were. It was shaping their lives. They said, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what? My whole life and purpose is for him. He bought me at a price, and now I'm owned by him. I want to serve him. And he's coming again. He rose from the dead. He overcame death. And he's coming again to make all things new. You need to believe in him too. I'm sure that's what the people in Rome were saying. And it was shaping their lives. They had a different priority with their money, with their time, with their resources. They were doing things differently. The people around them must have noticed that. They saw this person who was once living for pleasure and gluttony and living for their career or their life, get their place in the world, that now were changed. They had a new purpose in life. They were giving their possessions to these other believers, and they were now living a different life than they did before. Their lives were changed. They were living for a new priority, a new world. They were living for the kingdom to come that's not here in this world, but it's to come. It was shaping all that they did. And you know what? As they lived that way, the people around them, their fellow believers, were strengthened and encouraged by each other doing the same. The same is true for us today in the Church of Jesus Christ at Town North. How will God use you to encourage another believer at Town North? By your faith. By you daily growing and being shaped by Jesus Christ and the priorities that he says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. With all your money and your resources and your finances and your time and your energy, give it to me and my kingdom, and I will come and make all things new. As you believe that, and as you're strengthened by that as a believer, it will rub off on others. I don't know about you, but it sure does on me. It helps me when I'm with believers that are on fire for the Lord and excited about him and look for that kingdom to come. And I know you've felt that too. And it may not even be in the times where you're the strongest. Think about that. I've often benefited from the strength of believers who are in really hard times struggling as much as a person who's on the mountaintop. I see them struggle to hold on to Jesus in times where they've lost a child or a loved one. And it teaches me something, just like Job's counselors should have been taught by him. What does it mean to cling to Christ when you have nothing else? When I've known a pastor who's fallen and lost everything because of a moral failure, yet he clings to Jesus and still clings to him in repentance and faith. It teaches me and it strengthens, encourages me, said Jesus can hold on to someone even in their deepest, darkest hours. That's what I want, Lord. It strengthens other believers. So first thing we need to get from these words of Paul is that God uses other believers, uses you and me to strengthen and encourage and help one another. But secondly, God obligates believers to help each other follow Jesus and be strengthened in him. And we see that in verses 14 and 15. This is surely how Paul saw his calling. Notice what he says in verses 14 and 15. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So he's talking about all the Greeks and non-Greeks culturally, all those who are Greco-Roman world and even all those outside the Greco-Roman world. And individually, whether they're highly educated people or whether they're not intelligent people or they're foolish people, I'm obligated to them all. And notice he says in 15, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I'm an obligation to all of you as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as a servant of his. He saw it as his calling. He's under obligation. It was his responsibility. It was what was put on him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's why he said in other places in 2 Corinthians, we ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. He was there for the body. Paul included himself in this obligation. He's under obligations to the Gentiles and to these believers in the church. And I would contend Paul is not different from many of us that way. Yes, he's a professional, but he's still in the body of Christ. He's part of the body like we are. He had different gifts. He was an apostle. He was given an office, a certain gift, but he's no different than us in obligated to Christ for the body and for others. That's the same thing is true for each one of us in the body. We must think about that deeply as Christians, especially in our culture. We're very individualistic. But you don't live for yourself anymore as a believer. You're obligated to other Christians. There's an obligation God's put on you when you take those membership vows in the church. You're obligated to strengthen and encourage others in the body. When you're baptized in the body, you're baptized into Christ's body. You don't just exist for yourself, but for Christ. And that specifically means you don't exist as part of the body of Town North simply for yourself. Think about that. Think about it in a very practical way. Consider why you're engaged in certain ministries or things. Consider, you may think something like this. You know, I don't need to go to that Bible study. I already studied that. I don't need to do it again. Or I've been in small groups most of my life, and you know what? I haven't really benefited from them at this point in my life, so I don't need to be in a fellowship group. That's a little selfish in the way of thinking, isn't it? It's a consumer mentality to say, I'm only in it to get something out of it for me. That's why I go. If it can't benefit me, I'm not going to go. I don't need to be there. When you say that, you're really saying, I'm only in that for myself. If I don't get anything out of it, there's no need to go. But have you ever considered that God may want to strengthen others through you there? Or use you in that fellowship group? Or use you in that prayer time to bless others? Like, you could go and say, well, I may not get a lot out of this, but Lord, I'm going to pray beforehand going in to say, Lord, use me to strengthen and help and encourage another. Because I'm not in this just for myself. And I don't know about you, but I've been greatly encouraged in those times when I'm with other believers and we get talking about something in the Word, or something comes up with in the Word, and another person says something, you know, yeah, this is what God taught me in this, and I'm really struggling through this situation, but I saw that happen in this. And I'm encouraged by it, and then it brings up another thought, and you say it to the other brother, and this person says it to you, and there's a mutual feeding that takes place. Just because you're there, even sharing your struggles in your walk with Christ, it's feeding other people, it's helping other people. And I'm not saying that happens at every moment in every fellowship group. You know as well as I do, there are times and seasons, dry times and not, but you go because you know you're not in it for yourself. But the point that God is that God can use simple things, simple situations, and we all have an obligation to put ourselves in those situations that will hopefully and maybe benefit another in the body. And so I'm not just in it for me. I don't live for myself. I live for Him. And that's why we have fellowship groups throughout the week, ways to engage with each other in the body. Life groups with a more deep engagement. Every year you can get in September, get in with a group of men or a group of women and engage with Christ and be really feeding and helping and encouraging one another throughout the school year. Or you can be in prayer. Wednesday nights, come with other believers to pray. You can pray individually. That's true. Absolutely. But there's something about praying together as a body that does feed and encourage one another. I don't know about you, but I pray, and Andrew says this, he prays more fervently. There's something about being with others and praying, and it helps to keep him more focused. And I've felt that myself because you've got others praying a certain thing. Have you ever had somebody pray something? It stirs something in your mind, so you pray something along that same lines, and it ends up getting stronger, this prayer and fervency. I've found that with another pastor friend that I've prayed with, that we feed each other on and spur each other on in prayer when we pray together. That's why we pray Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock together for the body. And Sunday mornings before worship, we pray for this time of worship together at 8:15 here in the worship space. Why do we do this? Because we see that we're not in it for ourselves. And I would encourage you this, young people, if you're in a youth group, this is one of the reasons that you go to youth group as well. When you go to youth group and you don't want to go sometime, your parents make you go, to think, wait a second, what does the Lord want me to do? And how, I'm not, that's right, I'm not just here for myself. When I go to the youth group, I'm going asking God to use me to be an encouragement and a strengthening for another believer. Maybe one of the other kids is struggling in school and they need you to pray for them. Or when you go to Covenant Clubhouse, young children especially, you're not just going for yourself. Yes, it's fun to be there with the others, but you're there because you're part of a body and you want to be a blessing to the other kids as well. That's what God tells us, to be part of the body. Paul's giving us a picture of it here. He's obligated. We have an obligation, not to ourselves, not to live for ourselves any longer, but for him. And this is how he teaches us to do it, living in a body. So secondly, God obligates us to help one another, encourage and strengthen one another to help them follow Jesus. But thirdly, God gives believers power to do this. Finally, notice as well, again in verse 11, notice the kind of gift that was needed to strengthen these believers, Paul says in verse 11, when he came to them. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. It's spiritual gifts that strengthen. That means those things that are empowered by the Spirit of God that strengthen. Spiritual gifts strengthen spiritual people by the Holy Spirit's work in a person with the Spirit. That's the kind of blessing that strengthens someone. It's a spiritual blessing done by the Holy Spirit and by the power of God. So that should tell us something. Paul himself even didn't rely on his own strength as a professional to strengthen these people or bless them. It was going to be a spiritual gift that he wanted to impart to them. What's that? The work of the Spirit of God to you, not mine. And he noticed that was also what was happening in them in verse 8. Remember what he said to them at the very beginning. I thank God. Why did he thank God for their faith and what was happening? Because God was the one who gave it. He knew it was God's work in them that was doing the things that were happening. And that's the way we see it too as believers. You may hear this and think, but I can't do that. And I haven't seen it happen. And you'd be discouraged because you think, I don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability, it hasn't happened, whatever, experience to strengthen and encourage another and make disciples, help them follow Jesus. And you know what? If you think that, I think that often with anything that I do. But you know what? We don't look to ourselves. We look to Jesus Christ and his power, right? That's where it comes from. It's outside of ourselves. That's the nature of faith and saving faith. We're going to see faith as a recurring theme in Romans. And the key to this faith is looking outside of ourselves. We don't look in ourselves for what we need as Christians. Whatever you need for the ministry you're in or the callings you have in life, don't look in yourself because you're not going to find what you need there. You may find something for a time and think, oh, look, it's working. I'm doing it well, but you're going to be in a dump some other time when it fails. Instead, as a believer, we don't look in ourselves for what we need. We look outside ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did here. It's a spiritual gift that he gives them. It's a spiritual blessing that you want to give them to strengthen them. And the same is true for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ. It's a strengthening that comes from God's power and not our own. And he will give it through Jesus Christ to all who call upon him. That's what you need to remember when it comes to strengthening and encouraging others. It's not by your own strength. So you may not be a professional who can help people follow Jesus or help people with their plumbing or car. Especially as a believer, you think, well, I'm not an elder, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a pastor. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, Paul says you can. You can be a strength and encouragement to fellow believers in the body, no matter who they are, because it's the power of God that can do it in you and through you. Helping others follow Jesus isn't simply for professionals. If you get anything out of it today, the message, that's what you need to hear. It's for every follower of Jesus Christ. God tells us here, the apostle, that anyone can help strengthen another. If these believers in Rome, weak as they were, could strengthen Paul, then any of us can strengthen others by the power that God uses in us. Don't ever underestimate the power of God that can work in you. It can do things that no professional could do, right? Think about it. I love this quote. It's actually from the Father Brown Mysteries from G.K. Chesterton, but it's a great quote. I've seen it requoted some other places. I've seen it actually over at the sub shop at Jimmy John's. They got it on the wall there. Didn't give it to J.K. Chesterton, but it's his. He said this, "Remember, professionals built the Titanic, but an amateur by faith built the Ark." Think about that. Professionals built the Titanic. One man by faith in the power of God built the Ark. Same thing is true with you as a believer in Jesus Christ. By faith, you trust in Him and look to Him to give through His Son Jesus all that's needed for the body of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for Your grace to us in Jesus, buying us, bringing us into the body so that we can be Yours. Oh God, we thank You for this grace. Please strengthen us and use us all to be a blessing to strengthen and encourage others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.